All right, she is here. That is Tina Koumarianis. Good morning to you, Tina.
Good morning and welcome home, Declan. We missed you.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say.
Not at all.
You said it as sincerely as you could now.
I did. I should have been a diplomat. I would have earned millions.
Anyway, you're here to hopefully help some people out. And, of course, you can get in touch with Tina. AskTinaK@gmail.com. And we'll go straight into our first one here. Dear Tina, during the summer, a childhood school friend who has a big corporate job in Dublin invited me to dinner in an amazing house in South County Dublin. The friend she was supposed to bring got sick at the last minute. The people at the dinner were obviously very wealthy, and they were talking about holidays in the Caribbean and Hong Kong, etc. Listening to their adventures was magical, and I loved every moment of the evening, even though they didn't engage with me too much. I would love to continue socializing with them, but I live at home with my parents, even though I'm 32, and I have a part-time job in a store, so I don't earn that much money. I mentioned to my friend that I'd love to be included again if they were having another get-together, but she just avoided the conversation. I'm wondering if I should mention it again. Would it be rude?
Listen, it's not a matter about being rude. I think, firstly, I'd worry about your friend's lack of response to your question. How did she react immediately after the dinner? Did she say that you were a hit, that they enjoyed your company? If you have enough money, you can buy your way into any society. Old money, new money, it doesn't matter. They'll accept you as long as you're amusing and you can keep up with them socially and financially. On the other hand, if you don't have the cash, they'll drop you pretty damn quick, as they don't pick up hitchhikers, unless you can add something fantastical to their lives and amuse them for a while until they get bored with you. I wouldn't get your hopes up, and I don't want to be cruel, but when I mixed in these circles, both as social editor in a magazine where I worked for many years and also living around the world whilst married for 17 years, I watched how this system worked. The old money tends to stick to their own. That's where the social bit comes in. And much of the very new money lacks the grace and manners to carry it off, to mix with the old money. Silk purses and sow's ears spring to mind. The new money purposefully forget where they were when they were in a similar position to yourself, and can be quite cruel to your face and behind your back, especially if you're becoming popular and don't have the cash. Did any of them ask for your contact details? Did you send the hostess a thank you card or letter the following days? All these things matter. Your address on a letter means she could contact you, or any of them could contact you without going through your friend. I think the best you can hope for, if you manage to get invited back, is that they'll play with you for a while until they get bored. And if you can't keep up with them financially, and you may find the invitations becoming less and less, it's very difficult and disappointing to give up that lifestyle once you've tasted it. Ask any of the ones that got bitten by the Celtic tiger. Very, very difficult to give up. Also, and this is the most important thing, how are you going to return their invitations? Don't expect them to bankroll you. They won't. They'll expect invites back to wherever you are. I'm really, really sorry to be so brutal, but I don't want you to make a fool of yourself with your friend. I think this may have been what was in her mind. It was a last-minute, once-off invitation to accommodate her as a plus one at a dinner party, and that's why she's not addressing it, because there isn't going to be a return as far as she's concerned. The dinner was in the summer, and we're now in the autumn. I'd say there have been quite a few get-togethers since then. Those social circles tend to entertain regularly.
The cold hard facts of life is what you're saying.
It is the cold, you know, and it's how you're going to return the invitation. I mean, if you're living at home with your parents, you don't have much money, it's going to be a nightmare. So it was interesting to see. It's a bit like marriage. Try it once and then moving on.
Okay, thanks for that, dear Tina, tinak@gmail.com. Hi, Tina. I'm wondering if you can steer me in the right direction. A workmate told me she witnessed a girl bad-mouthing me in front of a man I consider to be a great friend, although she wouldn't say who the girl was. I've confronted my male friend and demanded he does not see this person socially anymore. And yes, it's going to be difficult because we all work together. He says he likes us both. We are his friends and he doesn't want to lose either of us. I think under the circumstances, he's being unreasonable.
Listen, what a pity your workmate had to tell you. She should have worked on the old premise. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. It rings very, very true in this instance. She must have known it would only cause serious trouble telling you. I wonder why she told you. What's in it for her? Talk about light the blue touch paper and retire. Very, very dangerous in close settings to tell people what other people have said about you, especially if you have to work with them every day. Yes, we all know a true friend would take our back in an instance like this, but you must remember the three of you work together, which is very awkward, and he is possibly being very diplomatic for the sake of everyone involved, including himself. I would sincerely hope your gentleman friend stood up for you, and if not, why not? Could there be an inkling of truth involved in what this lady said? Only you can be honest enough with yourself to know the reality. Demanding that this man give up his other friends to satisfy you is unrealistic. No one has the right to dictate to their friends who they can or cannot see. You know, they wouldn't be a friend for very long. So if it is really bothering you, which it seems to be, try to find out who this lady is and try and meet her in a social setting to let her see you for what you're really like. I mean, you never know. You might get on very well with her. You might even end up friends. You might. Yeah, you might not, but you might.
Yeah, I mean, demanding of your man, who's not really a part of it.
Not at all. And why is she saying nasty things? And why did the other one? I think the other one is, being naughty. Maybe she thinks the same and thought, oh, great, I feel like this about her. I'll just say this other one told me. You know, I overheard this other one saying it. And then, get the message across without having to inflict any damage on myself. No, you never know.
Dear Tina, I was recently promoted at work. It's a busy corporate catering company. It was kind of a thrown in at the deep end situation. 1 month in, my boss called me in and told me I wasn't doing a good job. There wasn't much of an explanation. He made it clear I was under observation and that I had to do better. Thing is, he didn't explain exactly how I was supposed to get better. Should I have been offered training? I had never worked in a management role before. I thought I was doing okay.
Yeah, I read this a couple of times. It seems very odd to me. You were doing so well in the position that you held in the company that management promoted you to a completely different role that you'd never tackled before without any training at all. And now you're under observation because they're not happy with your performance. Firstly, did you apply for this job? And in your original CV to the company, did you give them to understand that this line of work was something you'd done in the past? If this is not the case, be very honest with yourself. How do you feel you were doing in your original job? I only ask as if you had worked there for some considerable amount of time and they weren't happy with you, promoting you to a job they felt you would have difficulty tackling would be a very neat way of getting rid of you without a big payout. I've seen it happen in the past. If it's none of the above, then of course they should offer you training. If the training's during office hours, then more than likely you won't get paid for time off, although they should pay for the training. I would go to the HR in your company and approach it not as a problem, simply that you want to excel in your new job, but for that, you will need to know where you're going wrong, why you're under observation, and then request training. If HR is non-committal, then trust me, this place is not for you. There is something strange going on. Look at who took over your old job. Were you pushed out to accommodate somebody else? It's such a letdown, having been, I'm sure, excited about your new promotion. If you don't get satisfactory explanation, maybe look at moving on to somewhere where you will actually be appreciated. Just seems odd that they'd move her out of something, or him out of something that, you know, he was obviously very good at, into something that he knows nothing about.
Out on a limb.
Yeah, very weird.
And then the criticism starts a month in.
A month in is very, very quick. Yeah, there's something else going on there, and I don't know what it is.
It would be, well, I see you're struggling with this, but you're only a month in, and here's the way to...
Can we offer you some training? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, there's something else going on. I don't think you're bad at your job. I think there's some undercurrent going on, and I don't know what it is.
One more here. Dear Tina, I'm 58 years old, and after many miserable years, have been happily divorced for the past 3 years. There was a lot of coercive control from the day after we tied the knot. We never had any children, so thank goodness I haven't had to worry about that aspect or having to deal with an ongoing relationship with my ex-husband. In these 3 years, I have found peace and happiness I haven't known for a long time. My problem is friends keep trying to match me up with new partners. They won't accept that some people, most especially those like myself, who haven't experienced a good past relationship, just want time out to enjoy their newfound freedom. And at this stage, I'm really fed up with it. How can I tell them to leave me alone without losing their friendship and seemingly ungrateful for their concern for my welfare?
I know exactly where you're coming from, but be gentle to your friends. They're only trying to be kind and look after you so you won't be lonely. There are a lot of women who couldn't contemplate life without a man. And then there are women like us who are not afraid to be on their own and in fact really enjoy the calm and tranquility of being your own boss, of not being answerable to anyone. I think when you've been married, whether happily or not, for some women, that chapter is over. It's been interesting, but not something we would care to revisit. Also, at a certain stage, the effort of having to spend evenings with dates you don't know, especially if they're not very interesting, can be very irritating, which isn't remotely having the desired effect needed to kickstart a happy new relationship. As the saying goes, you have to kiss a lot of frogs before you meet your handsome prince. And sometimes a girl just can't be bothered going down to the pond anymore. I have a friend who worries about me constantly, being on my own, but constantly regales me with tales about her own disastrous, dysfunctional relationship. As I said to her, I am quite worn out having to live your hideous relationship for the past 3 years, so I certainly couldn't contemplate taking on one of my own as well. I'd be totally exhausted. You stick to your guns and live a long and happy single life on your own in peace and tranquility, and if a suitable Prince Charming is out there, I'm sure he'll hunt you down. It's up to you whether you drop your drawbridge or not. That's a polite way of saying it.
Right, I'm just thinking about that for a second.
Don't think about it, Declan, it's too early.
Very good. So thank you for all those.
Not at all, my pleasure, as always.
And of course, as I mentioned, asktinak@gmail.com.
That's it.
If you'd like Tina to answer questions on the air with you. And don't be shy, you keep everything in confidence.
Oh, totally,
we haven't a clue who you're talking about.
No, never, no names, no areas or anything. No, it's totally confidential.
Very good, and you're keeping okay. Well, hang on a second there, we'll be back in a second. It's the Morning Show.